Continue our study on the Lord teach us to pray, developing a prayer life. We're essentially just going through that passage right now of what he spoke to his disciples concerning prayer. And last week we looked at him providing a basic pattern of prayer. It's also given during the Sermon on the Mount, what's called the Lord's Prayer, but both we recognize to be a model prayer, giving us kind of the idea, the basics of just what we're to pray about and things. And it's not to say that it's like this rigid formula we have to follow, and if we follow that formula, then it's sort of like magically then we'll get what we want. That's not the purpose of it. It's just kind of laying out to us different parts about praying and what it's all about. So having provided that, Jesus speaks further on the topic of prayer. And specifically, it's in terms of encouraging us to be persistent in prayer. And that's something that we think about where... Because again, it's not that we're... He's teaching us how to pray. He's teaching us to pray. And that's the idea, is that sometimes what happens is we get focused on the mechanics of it, and we think, well, am I doing it right? And then sometimes we think, well, I didn't get what I was looking for in it. And so it's like, well, maybe I've done it wrong. And then you can kind of get discouraged to pray. But he's saying, well, no, keep praying. And it's kind of the idea is that there's much more to prayer than just, well, I go to God and get what I want from him. He's not Santa Claus. He has a much bigger relationship he wants us to have a part of with him. It just, prayer is a time of enjoying that fellowship, worshiping him, thanking him for all that he is, and just spending time in his presence. And our petitions are really just kind of a part of that. They're not the main part. And so we see as it begins there in Luke 11, verses 5 to 8, he gives what you could say is an illustration, even maybe perhaps, that's not really a parable per se, more of an illustration, I guess. It says, he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he saith from within, shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And so it's because of his importunity. And we see also a passage in Luke 18, verses 1 to 8, where it says, he spake this parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. There is a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. And so both of these speak in the terms of persistence in prayer, and specifically we see the word used in Luke 11 there of importunity. Importunity, it's not a word that we use really at all nowadays. And so kind of understanding, well, what does that mean? And importunity is essentially defined as a shameless persistence where you keep asking until you receive what you desire. It's a continual urging of a request upon someone. And so we see two examples given here. One of this neighbor that goes and knocks on his friend's door desiring things, and then also this woman that's coming to the judge every day asking him for him to do justice, to avenge herself on her adversaries. And you see, it's because essentially they persist that it's almost like this idea that they just they wear them down, that they drive them kind of crazy, and so then they finally give in. And so it shows the results of persistence. And so then we kind of look at that and we think, okay, well, does that mean that we're basically supposed to nag God until He gives us what we want? And we want to realize there's more to it than that, because with both we recognize that these people act in contrast to God's character, because God isn't one that's basically asleep and we've like bothered Him and He's just saying, well, okay, I'm going to give you a request so you leave me alone. That's because He can handle all our requests and it's not overwhelming to Him at all. And as well, we recognize He's already inclined to hear and answer our requests. He's not one that's sort of, well, you got to ask me like 5 times, do it in just the right way before I'll consider it kind of thing. There's not a bureaucracy in heaven, and we never want to think of it in that way, that we have to, like, and I think that's sometimes what we think with their prayers, that we have to almost have the forms filled out just right to get what we want kind of thing, and we have to keep sending it back till we get it just right. And that's not what the Lord's trying to get across to us. And it's the idea, he's showing this in contrast to that as it talks about there in Luke 18, it says, will God avenge His own elect? And He says, yea, He will avenge them speedily. That the God that He wants, like when we have a need, that He's not one that's going to delay a response unnecessarily. That so often that we find that He's already, the answer's kind of already on the way before we even asked the request, or made the request in many ways. And so, and with that, we want to understand with the whole idea of importunity that we do not want our prayers to descend into vain repetition. And that Jesus warned about that. Don't be like that. That's not what you're supposed to do. And so that's what we got to kind of understand when we're thinking about importunity. Because we can kind of think, well, I just have to say it over and over and over again, and then God will give it to me. And it says there, Matthew 6, 7, 8, when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask them. And so that's not what the Lord is meaning when He wants us to be persistent in prayer. It isn't just pray, 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 and then God just gets so frustrated with us, it's like, fine, you can have it. He's not like that. And that's, we really want to think of that, because we sometimes think of God in terms of what we would understand. That's how we would act. That if one of our kids would just like say, tug on our shirt, please give me this, please give me this, please give me this, and if we say no, and then they pitch a fit and we're like, no, and then finally we're just, okay, fine, and we give it to them. That's not what God wants us to do. And like, that's not, you understand, that's not what we want to teach our kids how to act, and that's not the way God wants us to learn how to act towards Him. But it's just this idea of drawing close to Him and being persistent in prayer. And just because we don't seem like we receive it right away, don't give up. That the thought is instead is that we continue in prayer expecting and awaiting an answer. That it isn't something where we pray and it doesn't seem to come right away or nothing seems to happen, so we say, well, I guess I might as well stop praying. God doesn't want that. It must not be in His will. It's, I think a lot of, like, we kind of go from one extreme to the other. Well, it must be what God wants, almost as kind of name it and claim it. This is what I want. Prayed for this, He's going to give it to me. Or we go the other way, well, I prayed for this, but He's not answering me right away, so it must not be His will, so I'm just going to kind of give up on it. But he wants us to pray and to continue to pray, to have that closeness to Him and talk with Him, pour out our soul unto Him. And it's the idea that we're expecting an answer and we're awaiting an answer. That's the whole idea, that we pray real, like, with the whole idea that God is going to give me an answer some way, somehow, And so wait to find out what that answer is. And so when an answer is delayed, it is intended by God not to discourage us, but rather to help strengthen our faith. And you think of that with the passage in Luke 18, verse 8, where he said he would avenge his own elect speedily, but he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? That he's saying, like, when I return, is there going to be faith, the people that believe in me when I come back? And it's that idea that we need to have that faith in him, that when there is a delay, it doesn't mean he's not listening. It means we need to be persistent. And we see kind of that picture in Matthew chapter 15 with the woman who is called the woman of Syrophoenicia in other passages. But we see in this story, Matthew chapter 15, beginning verse 21, that Jesus went thence and departed in the coasts of Tyre and Zidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And it's something you kind of see with the whole kind of relation of what has happened here. It almost kind of really strikes you as odd just how Jesus kind of ignores this lady. And the disciples saying, she's annoying, get her to leave us. And even saying, well, I'm only sent to Israel, you're not of Israel. And of course we realize that it had to do with the time of everything. And he says, well, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And basically he's saying, well, you're a dog, I'm not going to give you anything. But yet she's still persistent. And it's like, it seems that Jesus is absolutely not inclined to even give her the time of day, but she's persistent, and he commends her, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. That she didn't give up, and so she received her request. And so I think in a lot of ways it's something that is written for our learning, written kind of to show us the blessings of persistence. And so then we see in Luke 11, 9-13, the Lord Jesus makes these statements. He says, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And so you see this, it talks about where to ask, where to seek, and where to knock. And as looking at it in kind of in terms of the tense of the three verbs, and there's different tenses in the Greek that we don't necessarily have in the English, and you kind of study, because some of them are what's called punctiliar action, where it's something that's done and it's basically, you do it once and it's finished. And then you have others that it has more of a sense of continuous action. And that's what these verbs, their tense is. It's a sense of continual action, that you don't just do it once, but you keep doing it. It's like ask and keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. Knock, keep on knocking. And as we do that, if we ask, we receive. If we seek, we find. If we knock, it shall be opened unto us. And so we think of it in terms that when we ask for something, it's we ask for a request to be met. We have a need, and so we ask, please meet this need. But when we seek something, really it's generally that we're seeking a person. And in prayer, we're seeking God himself. And Jeremiah 29:13, God said, ye shall seek me and find me if ye shall seek for me with all your heart. And so we want to seek him with that persistence. And when we knock, it's the idea that we might enter into something, and specifically that we might enter into fellowship with Him, that closeness, that we might come and sup with Him and He with us, that kind of idea. And so we think of it in those terms of what prayer is. Yes, it's putting forth our petitions, but also it's seeking the Lord and entering into fellowship with Him, that that's all part of prayer. And so we should pray waiting for and expecting an answer. But we want to realize that the answer might be yes, the answer might be no, or the answer sometimes might simply be wait. I know Brother Alan Ironside, that was something I remember with him, that he kind of compared it to like street lights, that sometimes it's red light, just go, or like stop, no, don't do that. Sometimes it's go, yes, it's okay. But other times there's that yellow light of wait. And we need that sometimes, where we just need to trust the Lord. And we see with Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 that he had this this affliction of the flesh, this messenger of Satan to buffet him, and or thorn in the flesh it was called. And it says in verse number 8 of 2 Corinthians, where he said that he beseeched the Lord three times that it would depart from him. It says in verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." That he was praying, but God said, no, you don't need this. It's okay, my grace is sufficient for you in your weakness. And so sometimes the Lord says no, but it's not that he's being cruel, it's that he's got a better plan for us. And we need to learn to trust him. And it talks about in Philippians chapter 4, where we're to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so we want to have that faith, that we, whatever our request is, that as we do that, that he'll give us peace, one way or the other, that we know he's heard us, we know that he's going to take care of it, however it works out, that's what we should seek for, is not just we pray and then we leave it open-ended, but we pray and we have that confidence that he's heard our petitions. And it's something, too, that we want to realize. If we're not receiving an answer, there could be something wrong. James chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not even of your lusts? That war in your members, ye lust and ye have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." That sometimes we don't have what we want because we haven't asked, and sometimes we don't receive what we've asked for because we're asking for the wrong reasons. And so that's something to evaluate and kind of see, well, what's the problem? Because there should be an answer one way or the other. But it's kind of the whole idea is when we don't get a request answered, we don't seem to be any response, that doesn't mean we give up and we stop praying. It actually means, okay, well, let's seek the Lord, have Him search me if there's anything within me that's not the way it should be, and we get it right with the Lord and we get back to praying. And that's what we see in the latter part of James, where it says that we're to draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to us, cleanse our hands, sinners purify your hearts, ye double-minded, that we want to get into that fellowship with God so that then we can receive from Him and we can pray aright. But then as well we see in the latter part there of Luke chapter 11, I've already read it, but how he talks about, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you, there's a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he'll ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" And it says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" And it's what he's trying to say with that is, he's much more righteous than we are. We understand that. So if we, being sinners, we know how to give good gifts. If somebody asks for something, we don't give them something that's going to be harmful. we give good gifts to our children, well, how much more will God know to do the same thing? He's going to give us good things. And it says that in James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. And realizing that and understanding His nature, He's not like us. He's far beyond us in righteousness and kindness. And the fact is, He knows our needs much better than we do. And so when we pray for something, if we don't get what we pray for, if He gives us something else, is it going to be harmful to us? No, it's not. Is it going to be kind of second best for us? No, it's not. Actually, it's going to be better than what we requested for. And so we want to realize that. If I don't, and you can think of like with Paul, that he wanted to be free from whatever this affliction was. And God said, well, no, I want you to have it so you can learn to trust in me. And he said, I now glory in my infirmities, because when I am weak, then I am strong. That it was actually a good thing. It helped him to be able to trust in God more. That if he didn't have that, he would, it was kind of what it talks about, he'd be exalted above measure. That it was part of what God gave to him to help him. And so understanding that, what the Lord is doing and why, it doesn't always make sense, but we have that faith. If He gives us something different than what we request, it's not something worse, or that He doesn't love us. Because He loves us, He's given us something different that's going to be even better in time. And so we realize with what He says there as well, though, that our truest and greatest need is the fullness of His Spirit. That's what we need for living this life, for being a Christian, and for following Him. And so that's something that we should ask for, is His Spirit, His fullness, that we would be able to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, be guided by the Spirit. And so if we have that, it's something that if we pray for that, we can be certain He's delighted to impart to us. And so it's kind of, it almost gives us an idea if there's something that we want to pray for every day, that we absolutely know that God is going to answer us, well, we need to pray for His Spirit and His fullness in us, that God wants us to be full of the Spirit. And so if we pray for that, that really can help us with so many of the other things that we might, because sometimes we have all these things we're dealing with, Lord, take away these problems, but it's like if He gives us His Holy Spirit, we can go through all those difficulties and they're not so overwhelming anymore. It changes our whole perspective. So that's the rest of this evening. Any thoughts or questions before we conclude? No? All right then, well, let's turn in our hymn books to one last hymn.